And welcome back to our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today from the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, we have product safety investigator Mary Ann McGurty-Sieber. And welcome back.
Thank you.
I tell the time of the year by your appearances each year, and here we are. It's already fall, and I know that because I'm already using a space heater to stay warm here in the studio. So let's get cracking first, though, Mary Ann. Let's talk first about what is the Consumer Product Safety Commission.
Well, CPSC is a federal regulatory agency. We regulate consumer products, and probably your listeners would be, you know, most aware of when they hear that there's been a recall. Actually, CPSC regulates 15,000 different types of products, and we do anywhere from 250 to 450 recalls every year. So essentially, we could be in the news almost every single day. But a lot of times, consumers focus a lot on children's products. Of course, we, you know, really, the best idea or thought would be everything that you touch from the time you get up in the morning, coffee maker, hair dryer, of course, yes, to children's products, but also things such as ATVs or camera equipment, stereo equipment. It really kind of runs, a wide range of products for consumers. But what's most important for your listeners to know is that CPSC is interested in hearing from you. Should you ever have a problem, don't ever stop and think that, well, I'm only one person, you know, maybe I was not using that product correctly. That's really why this happened. But we are interested in finding out, did you have a problem associated with a consumer product? And the easiest way for your listeners to reach out to us, of course, would be our website. That is www.cpsc.gov. From there, they can get information regarding really anything that we're going to talk about today, from recalls to toy and holiday safety to home heating, fire safety, to talking to us, to telling it, to report that this morning I put that bagel in the toaster oven. I got distracted. 30 minutes later, I went back. The bagel was burned. It didn't cause a fire. The countertop is scorched, but clearly there is something wrong. So by reaching out to the CPSC, in addition to, you know, contacting the manufacturer, you're providing us, a small snippet of information that lets us know that something has occurred. And from there, we move forward to determine what course of action needs to be taken.
I think I've brought this up before, but in my imagination, I just see this amazing huge laboratory, and there are people in corners playing with microwaves and toasters, and someone else is dropping hair dryers into tubs of water. And I just see you all playing around with equipment and items all day long, trying to find out or trying to reproduce the problem. What happens right when someone calls up and says that bagel burnt to a crisp right and it didn't shut off automatically?
So there's a variety of different things, but let me go back to, because I think the visual would be great, because you talked about our lab. Yes, we do have a lab. And yes, that is exactly what goes on. Sometimes our engineers and scientists are trying to recreate a situation because, you know, they have begun to see a pattern where, say, there's oven fires in a certain geographic part of the country, and we begin to realize that that particular model of that manufacturer was sold maybe just in that location, or we begin to see a pattern go nationwide. So, yes, we do attempt to reproduce when we receive information regarding a recall, or I should say a hazard. In addition to looking at products, as CPSC is set up, we report directly to Congress. We're an independent agency, much like FDA and EPA. And as we report to Congress, we, from year to year, in terms of our money and our appropriations, have to say, you know, what did you do with your budget every year? So we report each year as to what findings we had, how many recalls that occurred. So it gives us an opportunity, sort of a checks and balances, to discuss where are our initiatives? Are we beginning to see a pattern in a particular area? CPSC does not test products prior to going to market. Manufacturers, as they make products, have regulations that are put forth under the agency. However, accidents happen, and sometimes we begin to see where maybe a product was introduced into the marketplace in late summer. We begin to see news reports and other avenues that we're beginning to see accidents that have occurred, hazards that have happened associated with that. So then we delve into it through engineers, scientists, et cetera, to see what's the problem, what can we do and work with a manufacturer to get that resolved.
And that can lead to a voluntary recall or sometimes an involuntary recall as well. And of course, when you go to your website, you see a nice list comes up right away of the most recent recalls. And I saw some, everything from wireless speakers to one of those little bed pouch things that you stuff under your mattress to drop your remote or your eyeglasses, et cetera, into that. So there are all these items there. And that goes on forever, right? Once it's recalled, it's up on your website forever.
It is. Actually, the agency is over 40 years old, and every recall that we've ever done is on the website. So for consumers, there are some products that do have a lifespan of many years. And also for consumers that maybe either go to thrift stores or secondhand stores or get hand-me-downs, very often that becomes, say, a children's product where, you know, families can't afford to buy all new products. So they get hand-me-downs from family, friends. They may go to thrift stores. And, of course, when someone is giving you something or you're buying something, you're hoping, you know, that what you're receiving is safe. But in any type of product, the yard sale, anything, really, a consumer, all they need to do is go to CPSC's website. They can look up the information. Has the product ever been recalled? If it's recalled, what's the specifics of it? We provide it in our press release, the product, the manufacturer, when it was manufactured, the date, where it was sold, what's the hazard, what's the consumer need to do to get that particular product fixed. But it's great because as we talk about, you know, as we're getting into the later part of the year and people are beginning to shop, consumers can use that as a guide. We all have our phones. We all have the capabilities in which to pull this information up. We do it in many other aspects. So knowing that that's there at our fingertips really is a helpful tool when we're out shopping either in a secondhand store or, you know, buying products for our kids, you know, for the upcoming holidays.
It's funny. We will whip out our phones and check the price on something, but we don't check to see if it's safe or age appropriate for our kids or if there have been other problems or, you know, reported difficulties with it. But now let's get into a little teeny bit, and then we're going to get going on the real meat of the issue today. But you are also a regulatory organization. So what does that mean in terms of willful violations or violations that just become beyond the pale or products that are coming in from outside the country to meet our standards?
Sure. So as CPSC, as I mentioned, if you're a manufacturer and you're putting a product, there are regulations that manufacturers look to for guidance to make determinations. Now, as I mentioned as well, when a consumer has a problem with something, we're encouraging them to reach out to the CPSC, but also to contact the manufacturer. Manufacturers are required to notify the agency when they receive complaints from consumers about a hazard associated with a product. That is part of our regulation. If a manufacturer does not do that and we become aware of it, then sometimes the agency will levy civil penalties. Just recently, we had a penalty with Costco that was $3.85 million. Which was a failure to report defective trash cans. Typically, manufacturers are interested in cooperating and doing business with the agency. However, when, as I said, we become aware of incidences or an incident where a manufacturer has not complied with the agency, we then begin to take those steps to go that route in terms of leveling the penalty. Really, our interest is in them reaching out to us, much like we ask for consumers, because when that all works, that becomes the quickest way in which we can become aware and begin our investigations. And when consumers do reach out or a company notifies the CPSC, we then begin our investigative process. And that could be any number of things, from a field investor going out and speaking with a consumer to discuss what had happened, perhaps taking pictures, perhaps collecting the sample. Perhaps collecting an incident, a exemplar sample, which is, you know, a duplicate sample of the product that, you know, where the consumer had the issue. So as those steps are going on, we are trying to make the determination as to gather all the information and determine what's the next course of action. You mentioned a little bit about the ports. In addition to today, the percentages of consumers that sit down at their computer or their iPhones and their phones that make purchases, you know, has just exploded. We all do this probably on a daily basis, and probably is whether we're making purchases for the holiday season or for birthdays, you know, et cetera. The option is there. But for consumers, two thoughts in mind. Number one, as a consumer here in the United States, no matter where you buy a product, and we probably have all bought and not realized maybe at first that the product that we had just purchased is not from a company here in the U.S., it's from outside. But any manufacturer, no matter where they're located in the world, if they're selling to a consumer in the United States, have to abide by our federal safety regulations. It is when you leave the country and you're making a purchase outside of the U.S. that it is that country's regulations that, you know, the product in which you're buying from. A lot of the websites such as eBay or secondhand type of stores, Craigslist, have worked with the CPSC cooperatively for many years. And we also have CPSC employees who are constantly monitoring those sites for any type of defective products that might be dumped on those sites or a recalled product that perhaps maybe should have been destroyed, but maybe a manufacturer is attempting to sell them secondhand. So, and in the ports, we work with customs and we actually have full-time employees who are looking at products as they are coming in from the ports nationwide. We, you know, through working with ICE and customs, we work cooperatively that they provide us notification that should something be coming in. And, you know, our interest lies in making sure that the product that the consumer is buying from their store shelves or, you know, clicking on that link while they are sitting on their computer and making that purchase is safe.
When I first brought up foreign-made products, I was thinking about the ports and, you know, a big shipment of widgets coming from China. And I forgot about when we are shopping now for electronics especially, or those add-ons that you buy. You know, you get yourself a fancy game or a new phone, and you instantly want a whole lot of adapters and pieces to go with it. You go online, and they're almost always coming from outside the U.S.
To be honest with you, when we, it could be something simple as a part for your pool that you need to replace. We don't, I guess, realize as we are shopping that perhaps the company, is not here in the United States. However, I think sometimes people are also under the perception, well, I only want to buy from a manufacturer from the U.S. I want to buy U.S. brands. But take the example of toys, for instance, and it can be also other products where companies who are from the U.S. are making a percentage of their products outside. That does not mean anything whatsoever in terms of product safety. As I said, number one, that's a company from the U.S. to begin with. But even if it was not, again, going back to they're selling to a consumer here in the U.S.
And, of course, some foreign brands actually manufacture in the U.S. as well, conversely. So you really can't tell. But as long as it's sold here to you, whether you're sitting at your laptop or you're in the store, they have to comply.
Yes.
All right. You're listening to our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and today we are talking about product safety with product safety investigator Marianne McGirty-Sieber. She is, of course, with the Consumer Product Safety Commission. For more information about what we've talked about, and that's everything from tips on safety to buying for kids to recalls to make a report, etc., the place to go, cpsc.gov. That's cpsc.gov. Now, as I was perusing your website, your wonderful website, I noticed that one of the big issues there was information for people who had gone through the hurricanes, and it was hurricane safety. And I'm reading this list, and it dawns on me that, holy cow, anybody could have flooding situation or power outages that last for days. So a lot of this safety information really pertains to everyone. And it's not just fire safety, but it's gas leaks and staying safe in your home with no power. So do you want to just have at her for the rest of the show?
Well, I mean, stop and think about it. Just a few short years ago at this time of year, as we were leading into Halloween, both New Jersey and Pennsylvania were hit with Hurricane Sandy, which, of course, caused major devastation down by the shore, but also crossed, you know, across the state into the state of Pennsylvania, and there was widespread power outages. So, yes, a lot of times we do, it seems like, focus on southern states because as they're being hit in the Carolinas or Florida or Alabama, et cetera, we don't stop and think that can it happen to us. But in addition to, you're talking about power outages can happen really at any time. And when you think about when that happens, you may not necessarily be knowledgeable about, well, how do I use a generator? Do I have a generator? Am I going out to buy one? Am I borrowing one from someone? And not, if you're not familiar with it, you know, your really number one goal is either one, to, you know, get your family safe and warm, to get the refrigerator, make sure it's up and powered. So a couple tips to keep in mind as far as if that ever happens and your power does go out for a period of time. Portable generators can be used safely, but please read the label on your generator and the owner's manual before using it. You always want to use your generator outside your house only, and put it at least 20 feet from your home. Sometimes people will put it out and they will turn it around so that the exhaust is coming back into the house. So you are literally bringing in CO. Of course, this time of year is perfect because you constantly hear the fire community talking about smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors. If you don't have a CO detector in your home, get one. They're simple. You don't need to really do muss and fuss. I bought one recently for my daughter that lives in an apartment in New York as a plug-in. The hazard associated with carbon monoxide can be within the home in terms of a clogged chimney. It could be the use of gas products in the home that you're not realizing that there's a leak. Make sure that you have working CO alarms in your home. We recommend at least one on each level of the home. Please don't think that, okay, well, I have a gas heater in the basement. I'll put the CO detector right next to it because if there's ever a problem with that heater, that alarm will go off. But you sleep two floors above. So if that ever happens and the alarm goes off, and it is, you know, in the middle of the night, the alarm is going off downstairs in the basement, CO rises, but you don't want to get to that level. So having that alarm on each level of the home is perfect. As far as making sure you have, of course, working smoke alarms, sometimes people will say, well, I have a smoke alarm, so that takes care of a carbon monoxide issue. And sometimes families will use, unfortunately, their gas ovens to heat their homes if their heat goes out because of monetary situations. Please reach out to your local fire, your church, anyone, if you are in a situation where your heat gets turned off. You never want to use your gas oven open to heat your home. It is a source of carbon monoxide. We also, of course, talk about in the summertime the use of charcoal, and you never want to keep that inside the house. It is as well. And, you know, wet appliances that, as you mentioned, with flooding, if you have situations where you have levels of water on the floor in your home because of a flood that has come through your home, you need to reach out to the local authorities or officials to have your appliances checked because there could be some problems. And any other sources, of course, in your home, if you think you smell any type of gas, report it. And reach out to your community. Reach out to your local fire officials if you have questions, your local fire department. Education and outreach, preventative measures would be a much better situation working with you as opposed to a reactionary measure because you've had a problem in your home. And one final thought as far as CO, the symptoms are the flu. So as adults, we probably will deal with a flu and the symptoms for weeks. We will probably react in a New York minute if it is our kids and get them to the pediatrician. But if you have a situation where you're feeling bad in your home and you feel better when you leave your home, perhaps if you do not have a CO detector in your home, it could be that particular issue in terms of an appliance in your house.
And of course, in a critical situation, CO, that can kill you in minutes.
And people are affected differently from younger children to middle-aged adults to seniors. It is made up of your body type and how you can be affected by CO. But yes, I will use the example of the hurricane recently in the South where there was a husband and wife, both in their 60s, who did not use a generator properly and died from carbon monoxide poisoning.
and it can happen very quickly. It's not that slow poisoning. It can happen just so fast. All of this information is available on your website, correct?
Correct. It is www.cpsc.gov, G-O-V. You can always give us a call toll-free at our hotline number, and that is 1-800-638-2772. You can reach us if you want to speak to someone, call during normal business hours, Monday through Friday. But if you don't have that opportunity and you want to leave a message, we'll give you a call back. If you have questions about anything we've talked about today, you want to report a particular hazard associated with a consumer product that you had and you don't have access to a computer, I mean, not everyone does. There could be a senior who, does not have a computer in their home. But for us, that maybe we have older parents or aunts and uncles who are still living in their original home that you were raised in, maybe their carbon monoxide detector needs to be checked, or frankly, they don't have one, or that smoke alarm, that the batteries need to be changed. What a great thought, if you're always trying to figure out what it is that I need to buy them for their birthday or for the holidays. Using those type of preventative measures and buying it for them and installing it for them is you looking out for them and their safety.
Well, I invited you here today. What would you like to talk about now?
Okay. Well, how about a little bit on, as we're coming up to this colder weather, toy and holiday safety, a couple quick tips to keep in mind. We always think about, we maybe focus most on maybe buying your child all their top toys on their wish list. But buying the hottest, maybe trendiest toys for your kids may be the first thing that crosses your mind. But we also want to let you know that there's some tips to keep in mind for consumers. Our biggest concern is usually kids under the age of 3. They're still putting things into their mouth. So small parts is a key focus as far as children's toys. And there is labeling on toys. So it provides the buyer, the parent, the grandparent, the aunt and uncle who are making that purchase some guidance as to, she's 2 years old. It says it's for a toy for children 4 and up. That probably is not such a good idea to buy for her because perhaps it could contain small parts. For the families that have multiple ages, my girls are 2.5 years apart. When they were younger, my younger daughter always thought she was the same age as the older sister. And of course, when there's multiple kids in the house, they want to play with perhaps the older siblings' toys. So read the labels. Be a label reader when you go out and you make those purchases. That's really important. And as we're bringing all these items into our house during the holiday seasons, this holiday season, look at the avenues in which this is a temporary situation. So you could have pets in your house. Be mindful of perhaps extra lights, candles in the window that you want to put up, extension cords, not putting them underneath of a rug. It seems like an easy fix. Well, it won't be a trip hazard, but what happens is walking across it then becomes the ability. Sometimes it could become a fire hazard. Extension cords, holiday lights, using them as they're directed. Read the information. If it's indoor, only use them indoor. And the same thing for extension cords. The extension cords that are meant for our homes are not, have the wear and tear. We have crazy weather. That could be wind, rain, ice, you name it, in the next several months. So use them as they are intended. And, once you get up, the tree, the lights, the ornaments, the lights in the window, your lights out to display, use them while you are home in your house. But when you go to bed at night, when you go out, please turn them off. I'm sure as a morning person, once the holidays kick in, you begin to see, and everyone is so proud, of course, of the time they take to put their holiday lights up and their displays. And I'm sure you see where I have neighbors who will leave those lights on, and they'll be on until well after the first of the year. But we really recommend that you turn them off when you go to bed. Set a timer. This way you will prevent any type of hazard occurring. Because unfortunately, we do see, the holiday tree that is dried out, the lights that are on there that overheat. And we do unfortunately see these reports in the news. These are preventative. We always want to take the time to take a couple steps first as we get into the holiday season to enjoy them with our family.
What a are we going to find when we go to your website?
A lot of information, as I mentioned, as far as the any type of recall that the agency has ever done is on there. It provides the consumer also what's called a consumer incident report. You can, what we're really interested in hearing from you is going back to that toaster oven and that bagel is the manufacturer of the toaster oven. What happened? Perhaps when you purchase it, how much it was, and sending that information off, you know, were there any injuries, any damage that occurred? Did you have to call in local officials? Was it a major fire? A lot of times we do get information from fire officials who will report to us, we had a fire that involved this type of consumer product. We wanted to report it to you. And of course, any of the information that we talked about today, we can focus on recalls, but also think about toys, holiday lights, decorations, candles, fire safety, home heating. There's so many different opportunities and information that's available. And as we mentioned, we can either bring it up on our phones, sitting down on our computer. You can print out information. You can get a guidance as to you're making purchases for the first time for, you know, maybe a child or your children as they are growing older. You know, life changes, as does your child. And as they get older, there are different types of toys that are available. And to provide a little bit of guidance, or you're the aunt and uncle and you're purchasing toys for your nieces and nephews. So what it does is provide guidance for consumers and kind of an opportunity to sort of be prepared as you're making any type of holiday purchase.
And, of course, a recall doesn't mean that the product is not usable. You have the remedies on there, too, if there's a part or something that has to be done to correct an error or a problem.
And a lot of times I think perception would be, I'll just say use a crib as an example. Somebody would say, well, if one crib is $100, another is $500, and another is $1,000, well, clearly the $1,000 crib is the best crib of the three, and there will never, ever be a problem with it. CPSC does not take in consideration the cost of a product. We are interested in the safety. So there could be a problem associated with at any cost. And as you mentioned, yes, as you're buying, consumers today buy lots of products secondhand or receive them from family and friends. If there's a concern, if there was a recall, yes, it does provide this basic information, manufacturer, model number, what you need to do. Do you need to call 1-800 number? Do you need a retrofit kit? Or in some situations, there's no remedy, and we recommend the product be discarded.
Just discard it. So again, when in doubt, just pull out the phone and check. And what information do you need to check a product at your site?
So you're looking for a manufacturer, model number, perhaps serial number, when you purchased it, where you purchased it, perhaps the price, and what happened. Give a basic, brief information as to what occurred as you went through those steps. Or sometimes people will reach out to us and say, nothing happens, but I feel as if there's something wrong and could occur. I feel as if this is a fire hazard. I did not experience a fire, but this is what was happening when I used this. Or going back to, I'm only one person. How could I possibly make a difference? CPSC has had recalls in the past where it was one incident. We do not sit and wait for reports to come in of 5, 10, 15 incidences, accidents, fires, deaths would have to occur before we take action. As each incident is reported to the agency, it is reviewed and the determination is made what's the next steps that we need to do to follow up.
Okay. And when we're buying, we can check the recall with just simply as well the product and the serial number.
Really, the manufacturer and the product itself, we list it. You can do a search if you want and say ABC manufacturer or ABC manufacturer toaster oven. So that provides a little, you know, a very quick fix to determine, yes, was there ever a recall on this product?
Again, if you're willing to pick out your phone and check the product to see if I'm getting a good deal on the price, check and make sure you're getting a good deal on the safety as well.
Absolutely.
And of course, the place for all of that, cpsc.gov. That's cpsc.gov. And your hotline number again?
Is 1-800-638-2766. 7-2.
And we will post that with the podcast of this show as well. But go to cpsc.gov for any questions that you may have about recalls, product safety, et cetera, everything from safety tips to buying guides for those kids that you swear are obviously much smarter than the age listed on the product. So cpsc.gov for the Consumer Product Safety Commission. My guest today, product safety investigator Marianne McGurty-Sieber. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Have a good holiday.
You too. We'll see you in the spring. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been our Delaware Valley.